Does everyone have a handout? Those of you who were here last week probably bought yours, but I'd like to go right into page one of your handout. You don't have one. Do you have any more? Please raise your hand if you don't have one. We want to be sure you have one. It's not the mind of the Lord this morning to go back and review last week. It was a foundation. It was a cornerstone. It was a beginning. You're all quite familiar with how many places it's available. And I would avail, even though I taught it, I would still avail myself to it and go back and listen to it. I consider the handout that you have in front of you sort of falls in line with the principle that we've established at the prayer center in regards to meditation and imagery and delivery. There's been many times it's been said that to simulate a book, you need to take the book like 1 John or John and read it a minimum of 30 times. We've heard how some here have really did that for the entire New Testament. I would highly recommend that you take what you have in your hand and do the same thing. We sort of kid, tease about being in the book of Ephesians all of last year. And Gary happened to ask the Lord towards the end of the year how he wanted, or how the Lord wanted him to sort of sum the book up. And what would you like me to teach, and etc. And the Lord said to him, I'm ad-libbing, but in essence the Lord said to him, why are you considering summing the book up when you're only in the introduction? And we kid about it. And the Lord wants us to kid about it. We've now, at the end of February, realized that we're still in the introduction. Okay. And that the more you read it, the more you pray the prayers, the more grace he gives you to receive the truth that's in the book, you read it and you wonder, why wasn't this there a year ago? Why is this brand new to me today, and yet I assumingly have assimilated it much more than 30 times? I've put it on my iPod and listened to it. I've read it. I've talked about it over coffee. Why is it so brand new? And it all goes back to the two prayers that he's asked us to pray, because he is continually illuminating our mind to the mind of Christ as to the treasures that's just in that one book. The reason he chose that book, as best as we're able to determine, is because it is the New Testament book on warfare. We haven't even begun to touch Joshua, which is the Old Testament book on warfare. Okay. Everything that he has for the prayer center as far as revelation knowledge, line upon line, precept upon precept, all goes back currently to the book of Ephesians. all of these present-day speaking that he's bringing forth. All is interwoven into the book of Ephesians. If he's asked us to do something, boy, if he's asked us to do something, he is not going to allow us to become double-minded, and he is not going to talk about something else when he's given us the instructions to stay in the book of Ephesians. He is not going to cause any confusion. So as you read the present day speaking, if you read it in light of the book of Ephesians, there's a harmony. There's a merging together. He is the teacher. He is the one that's finally dressed in front of the blackboard. And he's pulled out of the book of Ephesians, okay, things that he really wants us to call our attention to. If you're part of the prayer center, if you're part of the message that's come to maturity, whether you're here or hearing or listening or reading by any form of media, okay, he's saying everything that he is currently saying, he's saying it to you as an individual. And if you hear my voice 5 years from now, you're not late. You're not late. Because he's going to take you right where you are, and he's going to have you walk down this same path. Okay. Let's go to... we read and reviewed the first one, Once the Flames of Revival Are Ignited. Let's begin where we left off last week, Once the Flames of Revival Are Ignited. That's where we left off. So I'll begin reading. I want you to envision the igniting of a fire. Consider how small a spark can ignite and become a raging fire, and how it begins with such a small incident. But I want to elaborate more on once the fire is started. He's now talking about now. He's now talking about shortly what's going to take place. He's not talking about what's the past. He wants to give us instructions right now, ahead of time, for once the fire is started. Don't forget, in its infancy stage before the fire erupts and is only small embers that you are dealing with, I am the one who comes and blows on those embers until a flame ignites. I am the wind. I do what you cannot do. If you want to underline, highlight, put in caps as you study this later, the following: you offer yourself up to me. That is what you do. Instruction number one. The beginning of instructions. You offer yourself up to me. That's what you do. That's what you do. That's the only thing that you do, is you offer yourself up to me. It comes right down to you as an individual. Doesn't matter about who you're sitting next to. Doesn't matter about anyone else you know. He's saying the very first thing you do, okay, is you offer yourself up to me. That's what you do. Lord, how do I offer myself up to you? I'd sure like to know. We said a confession at the end of the service last week, and it said something like this: Father, by an act of my will, I offer myself up to you That's what I do. But how do we really, really offer ourselves up to Him? First question on the test. You already know the answer, but you're wondering if I know it, and I'm going to say what you know. There's six ways. There's really seven. We'll talk about six ways you can offer yourself up. You've heard it many, many, many times. Maybe if this is the first time you're hearing a message from the prayer center, then maybe this will be the first time. I'll read the six. You probably already have them highlighted. First way you offer it up is you meditate the word. Meditation. Second way is praise and worship. Third is praying in tongues, really all kinds of prayer. Fourth is confession of the word. It's really speaking His word. It's really telling the truth to yourself. Exactly what He said, not what your soul has told you or the enemy's told you or any of the other spirits that are out there that bombard your mind. It's confession. It's speaking His word. Number five is waiting on God. I prefer to say waiting with God. It's not that you sit and become a bump on the wall and you do absolutely nothing. You're in His presence. And you're waiting with Him, and He's wanting to talk to you, and He's doing all He can for you to become quiet enough, because He's always ready to speak. Always, always, always ready to speak. Every one of you hear His voice. There's not a single person in here that has been born again that does not hear His voice. No matter what anybody tells you, including the enemy, you hear His voice. He didn't come to be silent. He didn't come not to talk with you. You just have to get in a position to hear Him. How do you get in a position? You offer yourself up to Him, period. Fasting, number six. I'll address fasting just a little bit. You know, fasting is not going without food for 40 days. Though it can be. Fasting is you giving up something that you like for Him. Fasting is you choosing a food that you really, really love and say, Father, I'm going to give that to You, and I'm going to walk without that pleasure to my soul for a season. There's no religion in this. Fasting is you giving up a meal. Fasting is you giving up any pleasure that you might have that you know makes your flesh stronger. Whatever that is, it is just not food. Many have done 40-day fasts. I'm not downplaying any fasting that you've already done. I'm only saying around the world, you can begin to fast by giving up a pleasure and giving it unto the Lord. If you go line upon line and step by step or precept upon precept, you will get to longer periods of time that you deny your flesh, no matter what it is. And food is primarily one of those things. The seventh one to offer yourself up is the one that really is built or lays upon the first six, and that is co-laboring with the Holy Spirit. Very difficult to consistently do the mind of Christ, which is the will of the Father, through you, unless you do the first six. To co-labor with the Holy Spirit, you absolutely must hear His voice or you will be doing things that you have no business doing because he's not co-laboring with you to do it because he's never called you to do it. That's not this morning, but we'll get into it as we walk. Okay. I go beyond that. What you offer yourself up to me, that is what you do. I go beyond that. The wind of my Holy Spirit blows on your offering. I blow on it until it ignites. Have you ever looked at the things that we just discussed, which are really the attributes or the foundation of the message that's come to maturity, the message fellowship? Did you ever consider that it was an offering unto him? Wow. Did he receive it as an offering every time you pray in tongues? He's receiving it as an offering. He's receiving it. You're laying down yourself and you're offering your whole, your lips, your being as an offering unto him. Look what he says. I blow on it until it ignites. That sounds like to me that he never runs out of breath. How many of you feel ignited this morning? Most don't. But he's still blowing. He never runs out of breath. Never. He's still blowing. He's still wanting you. You might be right next to someone that's really on fire. And he's still blowing on them, but he's also blowing on you. Because that's what he does. He can't do that if you haven't offered yourself up to him. He wants to, but he won't go against your will. So maybe he's holding his breath until you say, I offer myself up to you. Immediately. Okay. I want to warn you and the church. Even once the fire erupts, the most vulnerable time for any fire is in the beginning stage. That is when it is most vulnerable to being extinguished. That is what I want to warn you of. First warning. First warning. Even once the fire of revival is ignited here, he put a place attached to the revival that he's talking about, and that's here. Right here. Once it starts here, and the flames grow. Be on guard because your enemy will do everything possible, especially at the infancy stage, to try and extinguish the revival fire. Because he knows the longer it burns, the more that it will spread, and the harder it will be to extinguish. So know this, your battle has not ended once the revival has ignited here. It has just begun. Because you will have to guard against all the deception and that the enemy will throw at you in his effort to extinguish the flames and in his effort to sidetrack the revival and turn it in such a way that it brings a reproach against my name. The enemy knows the longer the flame burns, the larger it becomes, and the more dangerous it is for spreading. Also, do not forget that you continue to need to supply fuel to any good fire to continue. What is the fuel? We've all seen in history exactly what that says about the past. It's all been designed to bring a reproach against his name. You don't remember the individual who brought their reproach oh, maybe recently, over the last 10 years, you could say it's this one and it's that one and it's this one. We're all susceptible to that where we're headed. But what it was designed to do was turn a world against the Lord Jesus and bring a reproach against his name. That's the ultimate goal of the enemy in the past, and that's his plan for this place in the future, to bring a reproach against his name. What's the fuel? The next statement. Want to highlight it? You want to underline it? There will never be a time in this revival that you can ignore your personal time with me. This is the fastest way for your part of the revival to be over, because when you do not spend your time with me, you are more vulnerable for being led away into traps constructed by the enemy to derail you. You have to make sure you are spending your time with me to avoid the traps. I don't want a show of hands, but I want you to look inside your heart. Has there ever been a time or a season that you spent more time with the Lord, that you spent more time with the Lord than you are right now? You've already fallen into a trap. Ephesians 5, if you'd like to turn there. Leah and I have been privileged, honored, exalted, all those things that you could say, to be involved with or walk through ministries that have come to this place and had a portion of revival. If in fact we would have had that statement in our lives and be able to share it with the family or the body that we were a part of, the revival would have lasted much longer. You can never, ever, 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 ever not have time for your personal fellowship with the Lord. Never, ever. Ever, never, never. Ephesians 5, I'll begin with verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. I think the Lord mentioned once last week that one way to redeem the time was to slow down. You can study that out. You can pray that out. Is to slow down. The next one, in redeeming the time, if you lose control of your time, you've lost the revival that's inside of you. Okay. We won't share on redeeming the time, but there'll be enough for you to think about how you're spending your time. The next area is false responsibility. One more area, false responsibility. Recently, we had a staff meeting, and the Lord instructed between the time of the meeting and end of April that the staff was supposed to take a week off and be alone with the Lord in preparation for what's coming, because we've read these. We understand a tiny bit of what's coming. And so the Lord's really instructed everybody take a week off, and we'll take care of the work. It's not that we're going to ignore it. It's not that it's just going to lay and it's not going to get done. But we're a family, right? We're more than a family. I don't know how to explain the closeness that's being developed, but we're a family. So I'll do the dishes and you dry them. Well, that's not my job. It is this week. It is this week because the person that's doing the dishes normally and drying them, they're off with the Lord in preparation for what's coming to survive. And that's down the line here. That was, Lord, that was an instruction. False responsibility comes in when I, who the instruction came through, goes and tries to find out what you did when you were given a week off. You know, I do not have responsibility for your walk. I have responsibility only for one thing, and that is to be obedient to what the Lord has told me. I do not have responsibility for your life. You can sit and watch television the whole week. You can sleep the whole week. You can go party the whole week. You can do anything you want to. But I am not accountable. Well, first of all, I'm not accountable. And if I'm not accountable, I don't have the authority. I only have the ability to be obedient to what the Lord has told us to do. I used that example this week, not by accident. We set up a primitive video studio upstairs. The lights came in, cameras here. We had lots of fun playing with it. We were going to try to video down here. We now created the room upstairs. Some of you were there. We invited Dave up, sit in the chair. We had some fun. We called Gary and said, we had to actually bribe Gary to come and say, we have a good cup of coffee waiting for you if you come. He would have come anyway, but the anointing filled the room. Absolutely filled the room. Dave prayed over the room. Dave turned to a gentleman and said, give me your testimony. When that young man began to speak about how he found Christ, the anointing went up in the room. It was fun. The room is now created. I'm not responsible to fill the room. If I try to fill the room, I'm taking on false responsibility. That's just not for Dave and Gary. It's for every one of you that's been called to speak. Every one of you. I call your name. You want me to? Want me to call you out? Uh-uh. The room's available. The message that you have inside of you, the world needs to hear. Next area for redeeming the time. Last year's God things. Last year's God things is this year's good things. And they may no longer be God things. Self-examination. When the Lord asked me to give up reviewing management reports, He created them through me. I seen things. He was always there. He always would show me how to nurture or to do something better. I mean, it was never ending. And the time He told me to give them up was one of the hardest times I ever experienced with my walk with Him. Is to give up those management reports because He had something better for me to do. I had cross-trained people. They seen the things that I seen. The system was set. But I did not want to give up that security of who I was in him. I wanted to hold on to that. When Dave came in off the road, I was out on the road with him. Not frequently, but enough to know. The harvest was out there. And for the Lord to say, come in off the road. I got something better for you to do. What's that? Stay in your prayer closet. Three things. Establish doctrine. Contend for a revival. And your family. The family of the prayer center. Every part of family is what I'm calling you in for. Not only your personal family, the family of the prayer center, etc. Last year's God things. Or let's say it a different way. The last season God things could be this year's or this season's good things. You have to watch for it. The next thing in redeeming the time, could write this one down. Don't ever, never, ever, never, ever, ever sell your gold for brass. Never, ever, ever, ever sell your gold for brass. It is currently happening right now in the prayer center. You have to be very, very careful. Very, very careful. That you always give your time to him and you do what he says. Your best friends will be the one to ask you to do things. And they're all good. And many of them may not be God. May not be God. You hear his voice. You hear his voice. If in fact you feel as though you're supposed to do something, he'll tell you first. And someone will come along and come into agreement with you and say, have you ever considered doing this or doing that? Okay. But be very careful. If you want to write down something for homework, you could write down Matthew 25. This is one of the times that if you read Matthew 25, the Holy Spirit will tell you exactly where you are within the parables that he brings forth in that chapter. And you will have a party with him. And he's the one that will speak to you. It's the chapter that has the five foolish virgins and the five wise. It's the chapter that he goes away for a while and he makes everybody steward or something. You'll see. I'd like to read something. It's not in your handout, but it's one of the... It goes along with redeeming the time. If the greatest heart cry of the exalted Son of Man could be heard upon the earth today, it would be this. Oh, that my brethren would sit, listen, and hearken to the counsel of my Father's Spirit as he brings my mind to them. For his mind is the will of the Father. His mind is made fully known unto the Spirit of truth. The Comforter will take of his and show all things unto his brethren, if they will sit and listen and hearken as the Spirit brings the voice of him who speaks from heaven to the earth. The Lord himself said this. You know it. I do nothing of myself. I do what I see my Father doing. I say what I hear my Father saying. I go where my Father says to go. That's it. Back to your handout. I will have my revival. He's taken ownership of it. It's his revival. It's not yours. It's not the prayer center. It's my revival. I'm wanting you to know I own it. And if I own it, I'm going to take care of it. And I am going to have it, and I'm not going to give it away. I'm going to keep it, and I'm going to have my revival. And I want you to be a part of it. I want you to be a part of it. You. What he says to one, he says to all. I want you to be a part of it. Beware of the deception of only being warmed by the fire instead of being immersed in the flames. I did not call you here for you to be warmed by the fire. I called you here to be a part of it, to be immersed in it. My plans for you involves transporting this revival to other locations, destinations. My plan for you are to be that spark that I can blow to other areas where my children are so desirous of revival. I want to use you to carry this flame when it is ignited to ignite others. This goes for many of you who are a part of this body. Let me ask a question. How many of you right now are here and you're from another nation? Let me see your hands. Stand up, please. Pretty please with sugar on it. Okay. Okay. Look around. How many of you have relocated to Tulsa to be a part of the prayer center? Look around. Stand up, please. The only reason that you're standing is because you relocated to be part of the prayer center. Now, how many of you have left everything else to be a part of the prayer center? All your previous friends, etc. Why don't you stand up? Okay, now everybody look at everybody. You may be seated. I called you here to be a part of it. I didn't call you here to be a spectator. I called you here to be a participator. I called you here to be a part of it, not to be just warmed by the fire. I called you here. Dave Roberson did not call you here. Gary Carpenter did not call you here. I, the Lord, called you here to be a part of it. To be a part of it. To be a part of it. If you're listening by any form of media and you're listening to this message, he's saying the same identical thing to you, even though you're not in the sanctuary. I've called you to be a part of it because you've got a hold of the message. It's not by accident that you're listening. It's a divine appointment with him, not with the prayer center, for you to be a part of it. I've called you to be a part of it. You're not slow. You're not late. You're right on time. We've been taught over and over and over again that God is a God of today. He does not look at your past. The blood took care of all that. Every failure, everything that your soul and the enemy tells you, that's all gone. It's all under the blood. He's a God of the present, and he's a God of the future. And you're not late. You're right on time because you're a part of it. Now it gets interesting, I think, yeah. There are red hot embers here now. If you want to know where this body is in relationship to a revival, envision a blood, a bed of red hot embers. Gradually, I'm blowing on these embers, knowing that soon flames will ignite. How close is this? It is very close. Next instruction. So it is time now to begin to prepare for when the flames ignite. Brace yourself for the onslaught that is to follow. For many, it will truly be a fight of survival. As long as you are prepared for it in advance, you will be fine. Do not wait until the fire erupts, because then it will be too late and you will be fodder for the enemy. And he will do everything to try and turn you out of the way and bring a reproach against my name. It is close. Yes, it is close. Even now, the wind is blowing. Even now, the smoke is rising. Even now, the embers are glowing red hot. And in a moment, seemingly from out of nowhere, flames will begin to dance on the coals. This is how close you are. So do not lose sight of the objective. Do not lose sight. Press in now. Harder than you ever have. Because what you have hungered for, what you have desired for all these years, I have desired for so much longer than you. I have waited for someone with whom I could pour myself out upon, and it would not destroy him. Finally. Finally. We are this close. Press in. Do not hold back. Give me everything that I need to bring this to pass. It was over 15 years ago that we were still at the prayer center in downtown Jinx. And at that time, we had a mother who brought a small child who was deformed from birth. And at that time, I believe the young lady was in her teens. And she was no taller than about like this. Okay. And everyone that was there at the service, she came frequently. But at this particular service, she came. And the order of the service went to where we prayed for her. And nothing happened. It relates a lot to the pictures that are on that box. Because in the natural, nothing has happened yet, or their picture wouldn't be on that box. And it's the cry of every one of you in your way of crying out to the Lord that you want no pictures to be on the box. I know it. I mean, this is just where our heart is. That particular service, after it was over with, Dave said, I'm going to go into a fast because I'm not going to stay here. And I was traveling a lot. There was a couple of I said, well, I'll go into the fast with you. So I left town and started a fast. And I came back. At the end of that week, I think I flew in on a Saturday. And so, no, it was longer than that because It was about, I think it was 7 to 10 days we were into the fast. Anyway, I flew back in, and Dave said, I met with Dave or seen him, and he said, the Lord told me stop fasting. Now, I was a happy camper. Yeah, because Lord never told me to fast. I was just joining in. I was going to fast with him, you know. You know, if he can do it, I can do it type of thing, you know. So it was sort of like when Dave talks about he used to fast on all the holidays because he felt as though it meant more to God if he fasted on Thanksgiving and Christmas when everybody else was celebrating. Well, okay, I'll fast. So when he was called off the fast, I was excited. And the Lord had come to him and said the following. You must realize, Dave, that I love you. I love you as much as I love that little girl. What? Now, he didn't say that. I'm saying that. I love you as much as I love that little girl. And if I give you what you're crying out for in your present condition, it will destroy you. It will destroy you. Stop your fast and do what I've already told you to do. What are those things? None of your business. None of my business. But do those things. And when you're finished, you'll be able. You'll be able. And I will come. I have waited for someone. I have waited for someone that I could pour myself out on you. So in each one of our lives, he's waiting to pour something out on each one of us. He is. You know, not only does he never run out of breath, he never runs out of anointing. He never runs out of love for this world, which you are the spark that he wants to send to. And he's ready to pour out on us. Ready to pour out on us. The pitcher's full. It's been full for a long, long time. Doesn't he say? Finally, finally, we are this close. Press in. Do not hold back. Give me everything that I need to bring this to pass. He's ready. The same experience happened to A.A. Allen. If you've ever read his books, he would go into a prayer closet and fast, last for a couple hours, knock on the door and have his wife let him out. He did it so many times, she finally said, he's never going to do it. This one last time he said, I'm going to go in, lock the door. And he went in, and he didn't really expect God to show up. He just expected to stay there till God showed up. But he didn't go in prepared. If you remember the story, he went in, and he didn't have paper or pencil. And God came, said, I want to tell you some things. And he wrote it on a cardboard box, and he found a pencil, and he chewed the pencil with his teeth until the lead showed. I mean, old-fashioned, right? You all know there was such a thing as a lead pencil. And he wrote down 6 or 7 things, and he took care of 6 of the 7. And the book ends that on the 7th one, they don't tell what the 7th was, none of our business. But he walks into a sanctuary, just another meeting, and the whole house fell. And miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. And the book ends, in essence, it says, and he achieved the 7th one. That's how close we are. That's how close each one of you are. See you in a half an hour.